الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi is reported to have said, person who asks, inquires, he may go through some humiliation, some embarrassment for the moment that he asks. Thereafter, he will be honorable, he'll be respected, and he will enjoy the clarity of the mind. For the moment that he had asked, it would seem as though he's ignorant of this aspect of deen. Someone may just look down upon him. Okay, such a simple thing, and you have to ask, you have to inquire. For the moment, he may feel embarrassed, he may feel disgraced. But thereafter, his mind will be absolutely clear that I asked, I inquired, I got the right answer. My mind is clear. I don't have any reservations. There's no ambiguity. And I'm working with clarity. But the person that doesn't inquire, he doesn't ask, for the moment it may seem that he is honorable, he's respected, and he's educated. But forever, perpetually, he will have to live in disgrace. He will always be in that state of confusion, uneasiness. If anybody comes to know about my ignorance, then what? His mind, he will not be clear. Am I doing the right thing or am I doing the wrong thing? He will be never living in ease and in a relaxed, calm state of mind. In this verse that I have quoted, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala categorizes us in two categories. One is that class that knows, and the second is that class that doesn't know. So the straightforward command of Allah Ta'ala is فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Those that do not know, they should refer to those that know. So it's simple, it's nothing ambiguous, nothing unclear, not a mind-boggling situation. You know it or you don't know it. If you know it, then you are practicing it, you are clear about it, you can practice yourself and you may instruct others as well. And if you don't know it, then don't pretend that we know it. One Sahabi had come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and inquired, what is the best spot in the world and what is the worst spot? Rasulullah says to him, I don't know. He inquired from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam also says, I do not know. Jibreel alayhi salam refers it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah ta'ala gives the answer to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam that the best spot in the world is the masjid. وَشَرُّهَا أَسْوَاقُهَا. And the worst spot is the bazaar, malls, trading places, etc. So Rasulullah, as great as he was, and the most educated, most learned, most intelligent, most God-fearing, and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best, but he also did not attempt to give an answer that he was not clear of. Rather, he says, I do not know. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ I'm not one that pretends. I will say it as it appears. So Rasulullah is the Imam, and we are the Muqtadi, we are the follower. The right thing for us is to do as Rasulullah had done. When he knew this answer, he would give the answer. If he doesn't know the answer, I don't know it. As simple as that. So Allah Ta'ala has categorized us into two categories. One is that the category that knows about it, and one is that category that doesn't know about it. These problems do come about when either when people do not find out, do not inquire, or either they use their own minds and understanding, own reasoning, or they pretend to know what they do not know. These are the times when you get into problems, you get into difficulties. One person learned that when you are musafir, then you make namaz qasr. Your namaz is half, not maaf. So he came to Marisburg, perhaps he's joined the imam for the asr namaz. So he's thinking to himself that namaz is half. After the second rakat, he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bhai, tum kya kar rahe ho? Main to musafir hoon. Bhai, what are you doing? No, I am a musafir. Bhai, this masla refers to that person who is performing namaz individually or behind an imam who is a musafir like himself. It doesn't refer to you. So the right thing for you is now you take this kitab and see this kitab, see the maslas there. Don't you take a chance on your own. Now, how long have you been doing this? I've been doing this for so long. So all that namaz that you have done has to be repeated. You see, not or just on account of not asking and not investigating, not inquiring, man is landing himself into a problem. Just about 3 days ago, one question came from a woman. Mulana, you know, I had 11 years of namaz qaza. Qaza umri is approximately 11 years. And I have completed all the 11 years of my qaza umri, but I didn't define which namaz. I didn't define the namaz whilst I was doing the qaza. That this qaza namaz of this day. Somehow or other you define it. And the easy, simple way to define the qaza namaz is, it's very simple, very easy, very basic ways that you make the niyat in this way. The first namaz that was qaza on me. First, for example, asr namaz that was qaza on me. So, whenever you'll be doing the qaza, you'll make the same niyat. The first asr namaz or the first maghrib namaz that was qaza on me. So, say for example, you had 3 days namaz qaza. Now you made the qaza for the first day. So on the second day, when you'll be making qaza again, that will be the first day. The first qaza that is wajib upon me, that is compulsory for me to discharge, I'm doing it. So this is the way that you will define, a very simple way. You don't have to have a register to mark off now, this is how much I've done. Simple way you can continue in this manner. If someone has done it in this manner, for example, in 1 year, and he's done it diligently, so in 1 year, he's completed 1 year of qaza, finish. So this woman says that I have done the qaza for 11 years approximately, but I've been not defining the namaz, that asr namaz, or this day's namaz, or which qaza namaz, now what? So the answer had to be given to her, that until now you have to redo all that 11 years of namaz. As sincere as you was, in spite of your sincerity, in spite of your good-heartedness, but you did not go and take the pain to go and find out. You didn't take the time to go and find out. As a result of you not finding out, this is where you have landed yourself, that you have to go and repeat all the 11 years of qaza namaz. So it's a simple thing in dunyavi matters. Also, we apply the same principle, we apply the same law. And then the right thing is, we refer to a person that is learned, And he's got some experience. In our myths we find many a times that someone has just come out of the madrasa, he just come out of the box. Now, he is still finding his feet, obviously. He's new out of the box. He still needs the time to build up experience. When he needs the time to build experience, then we need to give him the chance, all right? He needs to build up experience. Let me find out from someone that has already some years of experience. So he'll know the situation, he'll understand, and he'll give the right type of answers because he's got the level of maturity. Now, we just take a chance sometimes just to appease ourselves. But do we apply the same rule in our dunyawi matters? I've got a tax problem for over 5 million rand. Will I go to an attorney who is just out of the box, who just come out now, or is doing his internship? Will we go to him? Say, no, bhai, paisa ka masla hai, bhai. 5 million, 50 lakh ka masla hai. It's not 1 cent and 2 cents, it's 50 million, 50 lakhs. So you'll go to someone that is very, very matured, he's got the years of experience, because you attach that importance to that amount of wealth. So exactly the same, in dini matters also you will do the same. One person came and he says, you know, Mawlana, I got a pot belly. And sometimes people don't have pot bellies, they have deg bellies. So now I don't know how to remove the hair. The private hair, I don't know how to remove it. So, because he can't see now. So the answer was given to him, all right, you take some removers, you know, hair removers, and he said, hey, he took a deep breath. No, I went to that person there, he was also educated, but he told me, must tell my wife to do it. Now, how can my wife do such a dirty thing? How can she go up there and do all these things? And he felt very embarrassed. Now, it was not wrong, the answer that was given to him wasn't wrong, but that person that was answering didn't have that level of experience. When he didn't have that level of experience, he just gave the answer. You know, whatever came in his mind, he just gave the answer. This person felt uncomfortable about it. Now he goes to an experienced person, want to do this. Such an easy way to find a solution for a person. But the tragedy is this, that in our dunyawi matters, we are quick to go to the person that is most qualified, most experienced, most mature. Exactly by the same token, can't we use the same principle in our dini matters? That the one that is qualified, he's got that level of experience, that level of maturity, can't we go to him? It'll make a world of a difference. World of a difference. You can find such a simple way, such a simple procedure for us to get out of that problem. Such a simple thing. One person, I'm just explaining to you the problem that you can encounter when we don't ask, we don't refer. Either we use our own brains, or we pretend to know the answer, or we feel too embarrassed. If I'm going to ask, then people will embarrass me. How will I appear before people? Now he's moving with a group of students, lecturer in Arabic, and he's moving with a group of students across the desert. So it's namaz time, they're looking out for water, they can't find water. فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Can't find water. So I'm a lecturer, I'm a master in Arabic. So I know the Quran Sharif, I know the rules. The Quran Sharif says straight, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. That when you don't find water, then make tayammum. So he got off the vehicle, students are all watching the lecture, he's an Arabic lecturer. So let's see what he's doing. So we can imitate him, we can follow him. Now they got basic maktab education. And he is a lecturer, he is a master in Arabic, these people got basic maktab education. So he's now reasoning to himself, because he finds it beyond his dignity to go and find out from the students what is the procedure, what you learned in the maktab with the guidance of your ustad and your teacher. I'm a master, so I know it all. If I'm going to ask, then I'm going to embarrass myself. Now he begins to apply his own reasoning, and how he applies the reasoning, he says the original thing is wuzu. So tayammum is a substitute, for wuzu. When it's a substitute for wuzu, then we must follow the same procedure. So he takes a lump of soil and he rubs it around his hand. Now the students are getting very, very, very eager to know what's the next step now. And they're watching him very, very eagerly, very carefully. Now he takes another lump of soil. As it is, they couldn't contain their laugh. Now he took the lump of soil, put it into his mouth. Now they can't laugh. They can't bathe it. They can't contain their laugh. Okay, what are you doing now? What are you doing, Professor Saab? The simple thing for him was to go and inquire from those students, what did you learn under that APA, or under that Munshi Saab, or under that Molana in the Maktab? What did you learn? How did you learn it? No, that was beyond his dignity, beyond his position, for him to go and inquire, for him to go and ask. When he failed to ask, now this is the embarrassment that he brought to himself. And this is exactly what Imam Shafi rahmatullah is saying. That if you didn't ask, then you will have to live perpetually in disgrace, in an unclear state of mind. Your mind will be unclear, you will be living in a state of ambiguity. The Quran emphasizes on taqwa, right? And taqwa requires, taqwa demands of us that we ask. We're not sure about a situation, we will ask, we will inquire. So what does it command? Ittaqullah. Watazawwadu. You're going for Hajj? Watazawwadu. Fa inna khayra zadi taqwa. The best provision is taqwa. What is taqwa? It's the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Is Allah Ta'ala going to be happy with this? Or Allah Ta'ala going to be displeased? You will ask yourself and you will get the answers. When you're talking of taqwa, then you ask yourself, the taqwa will tell you, all right, go and ask, go and inquire. If you've got the level of understanding, the answers will come to you. And if you don't have the level of understanding, then you will go and refer to an alim who is qualified. One more time, Isa Prahman says that I was in Lucknow, I had to deliver a series of talks. There was one prominent Hindu, some Kishore, who had accepted Islam with his entire family, all his daughters, children, everybody accepted Islam. And he had invited me, I had accepted the invitation. So at the invitation, the father is telling me that my daughters wish to see you. Now they may have heard of Maulana, a very great saint and a buzurg of his time. And who won't want to see a buzurg? Everybody want to see a buzurg, a great saintly person, everybody. A luminary, if the Imam of the Haram comes, they all want to see. Women from behind the parda also, they'll make a plan. How can we see the Imam? So everyone want to see it. And Allah Ta'ala make us maaf. And the woman that will see him say, this thing, hey, what a great ibadat I did. I looked at the Imam Sharif of the Imam of the Haram. Now here, the man's life is ruled under taqwa. When it's taqwa that he's talking, Mawlana says, no, I don't know what to do in this situation. Because on the one hand, these people are new in Islam. They have just accepted Islam. If I'm going to tell them, you know what, it's not permissible for a woman to look at a man, like it is not permissible for a man to look at a woman, both ways it works, then they'll feel disorientated from Islam. Because they'll feel, hey, Islam is such a strict religion, you can't even look at a saint. You can't look at a buzurg. It's such a strict religion. But by the same token, if they're going to look at me, then it's not right. It's not in keeping with taqwa. It's not in keeping with righteousness. No matter what my intention may be, and no matter what their intentions may be, but it's not in keeping with taqwa. It's not in keeping with righteousness. You see, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Come to this story again, inshallah. Allah Pak says, fear Allah Ta'ala, and He will teach you. I was once in Madina Munawara. Allah Ta'ala take us all repeatedly. So, Haji Ahmad Nakhuda was giving some advice to an English student. He says, whilst I was living in the company of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, so there was an urge in me to learn, to further my education. So Mawlana looked at me and he said, you see, you are advanced in age now, you're already 40, 45, perhaps at that time. And you have got responsibilities. You have got children, you have got wife. You have to look at their interest. You have to generate an income. You look after them. These are all responsibilities. So let me show you an easy procedure. The easy procedure is, you fear Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will educate you. You fear Allah Ta'ala, He will look after, He will take you. at any given situation, but you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala would take you forward. One student, elderly student, 21 years of age, his ustad used to notice that there was a very strange, unique, pleasant fragrance coming in this class. Something that is not experienced in this world. Something absolutely unique. Absolutely unique.